This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Where we are in our study of Surah Al-Fatiha is that we've reached the ayah where Allah Jalla Jalaluhu says, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. You alone we worship, and you alone we ask for help. We mentioned before that Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought down 104 books, scriptures, all throughout the ages, to different prophets and messengers. He said the meanings of these 104 books were captured and summarized by three books: At-Tawrah, the Old Testament; Al-Injil, the New Testament; Al-Zabur, the Psalms of David. And then he said the meanings of these three scriptures were captured and summarized by one book, and that is Al-Qur'an. And the meanings of Al-Qur'an as a whole were captured and summarized by one surah, Surah Al-Fatiha. And the meanings of Surah Al-Fatiha were captured and summarized by one ayah. Which ayah is it, Ya Ajmal? Take a guess. Huh? إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. You alone we worship, and you alone we ask for help. So all principles, all fundamentals go back to this ayah, go back to this concept that we are slaves, worshippers of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. We worship Him and we ask Him for help. We engage in isti'anah. Everything that you have read in the Quran or others may have read in other scriptures go back to this principle of ibadah, worship of Allah, and isti'anah, asking help of Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. In the first sentence, when you say إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, you alone we worship, you are negating from yourself the performance of any ibadah, worship, directed to other than Allah. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, you alone we worship. So you are removing from yourself ibadah, worship, from anyone or anything other than Him. You're making it exclusively to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then in the second sentence, you are negating from yourself any isti'ani, any search for help and assistance in carrying out that act of worship from other than Allah. So in the first sentence, you're negating from yourself worship to other than Allah. In the second sentence, إِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ, you're negating from yourself isti'ana, the search for help in worshipping Him, from other than Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. And here there is a beautiful fa'idah, benefit, mentioned by Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah. He says, ثُمَّ إِنَّ الْقَلْبَ يَعْرُضُ لَهُ مَرَضَانِ خَطِيرَانِ إِنْ لَمْ يَتَدَارَكْهُمَ الْعَبْدُ تَرَى مَا يَبِهِ إِلَى التَّلَفِ وَلَابُدُ. He says that there are two spiritual illnesses, two illnesses of the heart, which if an individual does not treat immediately, they will throw this person into the pits of ruin and destruction. He says, وَهُمَ الرِّيَاءُ وَالْكِبْرُ. They are the illnesses of riya, showing off, and kibr, arrogance. He says these are at their core the most dangerous, most evil of harms that can affect the human heart. Riya, showing off. Kibriya, arrogance. We don't need to elaborate on this too much. I think you remember we spoke about it in the Change of Heart series, when we spoke about ikhlas, sincerity, and the dangers of riya, showing off. It's enough to know that riya is muhbitun lil amal. It renders good deeds null, void. It ruins them. It decks them at their core. A show-off has nothing with Allah Jalla Jalalu. And Allah will say to this person on the Day of Judgment, go to the people in this world who you used to do good deeds in order to please them and see if they have any reward for you on this day. La ilaha illallah. That's on the Day of Judgment. So that's one of them. Riya, showing off. And how easy is it today in the era of 21st century of social media, cameras, instant communication, internet, selfie stick, Wi-Fi, to become a show-off where everything people would usually do behind closed doors is now on full display. Your recitation of Quran, everyone knows about it. Your location, you're in the masjid attending a dars, everyone seems to know. And if they don't know, we go out of our ways to show the world. It's a problem. Those who are in Hajj, those who are in Umrah, once in a lifetime trip, again, they've got their phones with them next to the Kaaba, photos and videos as if their hearts are not safe from showing off. In the month of Ramadan, when giving zakah, charity appeals in Uganda, in Africa, in Yemen, in Palestine, wherever you may be, carrying out emergency relief work, the world is made to know consciously, intentionally, this is what I am doing. And therefore, this is a madkhal, an entry for shaitan to destroy our good deeds by way of showing off. Riya. One of the two dangerous illnesses of the heart. What was the second? We said it is? Kibir, arrogance. And it is enough for us to know here that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ مَنْ كَانَ فِي قَلْبِهِ مِثْقَالُ ذَرَّةٍ مِنْ كِبْرٍ. Any person who possesses an atom's weight of arrogance in his or her heart will not enter Jannah. An atom's weight of arrogance. And you will say to me, what is arrogance? Is it about wearing good shoes and wearing fine clothes? I say to you, no. Arrogance is simply as defined by our Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, بَطَرُ الْحَقِّ وَغَمْطُ النَّاسِ. It is to reject truth when it is given to you, and it is to look down upon people. That's arrogance. Two pillars. If they are there, the building of arrogance is complete. To reject the truth. The second is to look down upon people. These are the recipes or the ingredients for arrogance. So he says, Ibn al-Qayyim, that there are two illnesses that are detrimental to the well-being of a mu'min. Showing off, riya, and kibir, arrogance. Where is he going with this? He said, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ تَدْفَعُ الرِّيَاءِ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ تَدْفَعُ الْكِبْرِيَاءِ. He said, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, you alone we worship. That repels showing off. It deals with it. And إِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, when you say, you alone we ask for help, that deals with the arrogance. Allahu Akbar. So when you say, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, you alone I worship, it deals with riya, showing off. Because you have just announced to your Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala and then to yourself that I don't seek the attention of anyone but Allah. I don't worship the attention of people, the praise and gratitude of people. I don't need their thanks. I don't need their admiration. It means nothing to me. My ibadah, my dua, my aspirations, my hope, my fear, my craving to seek the attention is purely from Allah Jalla Jalalu. Iyaka, you alone. Na'budu, we worship. Not a parent, not a father-in-law, not a sheikh, not a child, not a student, not society, not an employee, or an employer, or a government. Iyak, you alone, we worship. If you say this statement of Al-Fatiha conscientiously, you have subconsciously dealt with riya, showing off. Because you are saying, you alone I worship. And then you have the other illness, which is what? Kibriya, arrogance. He said that is dealt finally with iyyaka nasta'in. You alone, we ask for help. When you say iyyaka nasta'in, you have dealt with arrogance. How come? Because you are announcing to Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, and you are announcing to yourself that any good that may have happened through me, it is from Allah. It's through His help. It wasn't through my ability, or because I'm intelligent, or because I had a good upbringing, or because I have knowledge, or I graduated from such and such Islamic university. I have nothing to do with this. إِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, you alone we ask for help. Any good that may have come through me, whether it's a dars I've delivered, or a dars I have attended, this is how we should talk, inshallah, or salah I have carried out, prayer at night, fasting Monday or Thursday, charity I have given, fundraiser, whatever good Allah Almighty has allowed to happen through you, you remember. You have no share or role in that. If it wasn't for the tawfiq, the assistance of Allah. What does that deal with instantly? Arrogance. You and I are taken out of the picture. إِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. So you say, you alone we worship. And you alone we ask for help when carrying out that worship. Ask yourself the question, who was it who enabled you to remember that there was a dars this evening? Let's just talk about and isolate the event of this evening's class. Who was the one who reminded you that there was a class? Who was the one who allowed your phone to ping at the right time and say to you, hey, there is a class happening after Salatul Asr? Who was the one who gave you the tawfiq, the motivation to get changed and to get into your car or the bus or walk to the masjid and sit here attentively? Who was the one who softened your joints and relaxed your muscles to enable you to come to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Who was the one who, as you sat here, removed the obstructions from your ears so that you're able to hear the sound that you're hearing from me this evening? And who was the one who, more importantly, has removed the obstructions from your heart so that he has allowed the light of Iman to permeate to your very core and to understand and to be transformed and reformed through what you are hearing this evening? Who was the one who enabled all of these things? And that's just one small example pertaining to one dars you attend every week. What about the good deeds that you may do on a day-to-day basis and the sins you avoid on a day-to-day basis? Who gave you the help to achieve these things? إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, you alone we worship. And إِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ, you alone we ask for assistance. I have no share in this. So the first deals with showing off and the latter deals with كِبْرِيَاء, arrogance. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. And that's why many of our predecessors, for this reason, when they would recite Surah Al-Fatiha, and specifically arriving at this ayah, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ, you alone we worship, you alone we ask for help, they had a phenomenal reaction to it. It broke their hearts and it caused them to cry. Now, if I was to ask you a question, my brother, my sister, and certainly ask myself the exact same, list to me the chapters or the passages of the Quran that shake you to the core. How many people will say Al-Fatiha? How many will say Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in? It doesn't strike us as being one of those surah of the Quran that bring about tears. You will say to me, the ayat of the Quran that affect me most are maybe the latter verses of Surah Al-Hadid. أَلَمْ يَأْنِي لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. You may say to me, it's the verses from Surah Al-Zumar. وَسِيقَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْ رَبَّهُمْ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ زُمَرًا. You will say to me, maybe verses from Surah Ghafir, وَيَا قَوْمِ مَا لِي أَدْعُوكُمْ إِلَى النَّجَاةِ وَتَدْعُونَنِي إِلَى النَّارِ. Some will say Surah Yasin, some will say the last couple of verses from Surah Al-Baqarah. Each has what they prefer. How many have wept when reciting Surah Al-Fatiha or were really shook to the core, especially when arriving at this ayah, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ? Yet as we introduced this session, we said it is the fundamental of all messages. It's at the core of all of the scriptures all throughout the eras. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. And that's why one of the predecessors, Muzahim ibn Zufar, he said, صَلَّى بِنَا سُفْيَانُ الثَّوْرِيَ الْمَغْرِبِ. Sufyan al-Thawri once led us in the Maghrib Salah. And he began reciting Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, until he got to Iyaka Na'budu wa Iyaka Nasta'in. The narrator said, Fabaka hatta inqata 'ani al-qira'ah. He said Imam Sufyan began to weep until he was unable to continue reciting Surah Al-Fatiha, as he said, Iyaka Na'budu wa Iyaka Nasta'in, thinking about these meanings of iftiqar, of utmost need and poverty, bankruptcy to Allah Jalla Jalalu. And he couldn't continue his recitation. And others, this was narrated by Muhammad ibn Auf al-Himsi, speaking about one of our predecessors, Ahmad ibn Abi al-Hawari, who died in the year 230 after the Hijrah. He said, Ahmad ibn Abi al-Hawari once led us for Salatul Isha, and he began to recite Surah Al-Fatiha, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, till he got to Iyaka Na'budu wa Iyaka Nasta'in, you alone we worship and you alone we ask for help. He said he began to repeat it over and over again. He said, فَطُفْتُ أَلْحَائِطَ كُلَّهُ. I spent most of that evening walking around the garden, attending to my needs. I came back and he was still in Salah, leading the Muslims. And he was saying, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ, repeating it. He said, ثُمَّ نِمْتُ, I fell asleep. ثُمَّ مَرَرْتُ بِهِ فِي السَّحَرِ. Then I came across Ahmad ibn Abi al-Hawari whilst he was still in Salah at the time of Sahar, meaning just before Fajr, the entire night. And there he was in his mihrab, standing and reciting, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ, not going beyond it until Fajr. Because they are decoding and experiencing and living with the many meanings found in this ayah. and superimposing it upon themselves and realizing their need to Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. In fact, even some of our contemporaries, maybe you saw the video of Shaykh al-Shurayn in Al-Haram al-Makki when he was leading in the before the Kaaba, and he is reciting Surah Al-Fatiha, and he recites Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim till he gets to Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in, and again it's there on YouTube. He begins to weep and he recites it again, and he weeps and again and he weeps. These are examples of people, inshallah, and you will be amongst them, bi-idhnillah, who understand the implications of Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in. Then, now you are ready to give a request, to make a request from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For the most part, in fact, up until this ayah, you have been praising Allah. You haven't made any requests. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Maliki yawmiddin. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. You are praising Allah. You are speaking of His names and His attributes. You are reminding yourself of His ownership of the Day of Judgment. You are surrendering yourself to Him. Now that you have done that, the gates of the heavens are unlocked for you and you're ready to make your request. This, of course, is the etiquette of dua. Before you make a request from Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, you praise Him. Allahumma lakal hamdu anta nuru samawati wal ardi wa min fihin wa lakal hamd. You praise Him. And you give salutations upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad. And then now you are in a position, from a manners perspective, to ask from the king after you have praised him. Similarly, here in Surah Al-Fatiha, all of the verses so far have been in praise of Allah. You're glorifying Allah. So now you are in a position to make requests. And what will be your request? Your request will be, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. Guide us to the straight path, O Allah. Of all the things that could have been added here as a dua, that is obligated upon you no less than 17 times a day when you recite it in your salah, the dua chosen by Allah Almighty for you is اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. Guide us to the straight path. Because Allah knows that this is the recipe for success. Allah knows if this dua, this one dua is answered for you in your life, my brother, my sister, you are the most successful person in dunya. You are the happiest in the hereafter. It's from His rahmah, His mercy, and His love upon the believer that He has not left it as a blank. And He said to you, fill in the blanks. Ask for what you want. I would have asked for a car, and others would have asked for a house, and this person would have asked for a spouse, and this individual would ask for whatever it may be. Things that may be beneficial, but not wholly beneficial. Good things that you may have asked for, but not the ultimate request. And the ultimate request that a believer could utter in the life of this world is, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. Guide us to the straight path. This is the greatest of all dua. Now, you will say to me, what is as-sirat? Ihdina, guide us, as-sirata, to the path, al-mustaqim, that is straight. As-sirat, from a linguistic perspective, meaning when the Arabs use the word sirat in their talk, for those who still speak fusha, Allahu musta'an, the linguists, they say, as-sirat is at-tariqu al-wadihu alladhi la'wijaja fihi. As-sirat is, just from an Arabic perspective, a clear path that has no crookedness. As-sirat is in reference to a clear path that has no crookedness. So just from a language perspective, when you use the word sirat, you are referring to a path that is clear, it's wide, it's traversed, meaning people are using it. It is straight, and it is mawsilun lil matlub. It takes you to your destination. This is how the Arabs use the word sirat in their day-to-day when they use it. As-sirat. Now you will say to me, but what is the nature of the sirat, the path that I am asking Allah for in my salah? 17 times a day plus, I'm asking Allah to put me upon a sirat, a path that you have just described to me, Brother Ali, what it looks like. But what is that path? What is the nature of the reality of this path that I am begging Allah Almighty for? I share with you a hadith, a very graphic hadith, and the answer is there. Listen carefully, because there is a lot of imagery and symbolism used in the hadith. Subhanallah, it is profound. Imam Ahmad narrates in his Musnad on the authority of An-Nawas ibn Sam'an that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا. Allah Almighty has given an example, an analogy. What is the analogy? صِرَاطًا مُسْتَقِيمًا. Did you hear that? صِرَاطًا مُسْتَقِيمًا. A straight path. Imagine it. A straight path. وَعَلَى جَنَبَتَيْ الصِّرَاطِ سُورًا. And on the two sides of this straight path are two walls. فِيهِمَا أَبْوَابٌ مُفَتَّحَةٌ. Along the two walls are doors that are open. وَعَلَى الْأَبْوَابِ سُتُورٌ مُرْخَىٰ. And upon each door are veils, thin curtains. وَعَلَى رَأْسِ الصِّرَاطِ دَاعٍ يَقُولُ أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ أُدْخُلُوا الصِّرَاطَ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَتَفَرَّجُوا. And in the entry to this straight path, in the beginning, there is a caller who is announcing, and he is saying, oh people, come all together upon this straight path and don't take any side steps. وَدَاعٍ يَدْعُو مِنْ جَوْفِ الصِّرَاطِ. And there is a second caller, but he is calling from inside, deeper into the path. فَإِذَا أَرَادَ أَنْ يَفْتَحَ مِنْ تِلْكَ الْأَبْوَابِ شَيْئًا قَالَ وَيْحَكَ لَا تَفْتَحُ إِنَّكَ إِنْ تَفْتَحُ تَلِجْهُ. And whenever this person sees an individual walking upon this path and he's about to open one of the doors, he said to him, woe to you, don't open the door, because if you open the door, you will definitely go inside. This is the analogy. Are you imagining it? What do these components represent? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, explaining each of these components, he said, وَالصِّرَاطُ الْإِسْلَامِ. The straight path is Islam. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. So congratulations to you, brother, sister. This is a tafsir of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As-sirat, that you are asking Allah Almighty for in your salah so many times a day, is the path of Islam. Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim, guide us to the path of Islam. And every other tafsir interpretation that you will read our predecessors say, speaking about what the sirat is, i.e. the book of Allah, etc., etc., it all spills into the same meaning. The religion of Allah that takes you to paradise. He said the straight path, this symbolizes Islam. He said, وَالْأَبْوَابُ أَوَّسُّرَانِ مَحَارِمُ اللَّهِ. The two walls, they are the sacred limits of Allah. It's the halal and the haram. And Allah Almighty said in the Quran about His limits, تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ فَلَا تَقْرَبُوهَا. These are the limits of Allah, so don't go near them. So when Allah Almighty forbade, for example, alcohol, He also forbade everything that may lead to the consumption or trading with alcohol, etc. When Allah Almighty forbade fornication, He forbade everything that may lead to fornication. So He says, these are the limits of Allah, so stay away from His limits. Don't go near them. He said, the straight path is Islam, and the two walls, they are the limits of Allah. And as for the doors, he says, وَالْأَبْوَابُ الْمُفَتَّحَةُ مَحَارِمُ اللَّهِ. He said, and the doors that are open, this symbolizes the prohibitions of Allah, the haram things. And notice what he said earlier, alayhi salatu wasalam. He didn't say that they are bolted shut with iron. He said that there are thin veils covering them. Meaning all that a person needs to do in order to attain the haram is to remove the veil. And there you are in the prohibited. And how true is this of the 21st century more than any other time before us? Between you and a sin is the clicking of a button. The responding to a DM. The accepting of an invitation. The swiping of your finger across your screen. And so on and so forth. He said the doors within these walls, They represent the prohibitions of Allah, the haram. And look, there is only a veil. What is left? What is left from this hadith, my brothers, to understand? Two more things. The callers. The first caller was at the beginning of the path, and he was saying, oh people, come to the sirat and don't take any sidesteps. Come, all of you, come to the path. What does this represent? He said, وَذَٰلِكَ الدَّاعِي عَلَىٰ رَأْسِ الصِّرَاطِ كِتَابُ اللَّهِ. He said, the caller who was standing at the edge of the bridge, the path, this is the Qur'an, the book of Allah. What is the Qur'an? It is an invitation to all of humanity, Muslims and non-Muslims alike, to come upon the path of Islam. Allah said, وَاللَّهُ يَدْعُو إِلَىٰ دَارِ السَّلَامِ. Allah Almighty calls people to the home of peace. Ya ayyuhan nas, the Quran says, O humanity, قَدْ جَاءَتْكُمْ مَوْعِظَةٌ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. A reminder has come to you from your Lord. So the Quran is an invitation from Allah to all of humanity. That's what the Quran is. It's an invitation to all of humanity to come upon the path of Islam. That's the caller standing in the entry to the path. And then now we have the second caller. What was he saying? Remember, لَا تَفْتَحُ. Don't open the door. إِنَّكَ إِن تَفْتَحُ تَلِجُ. If you open the door, you're going to fall inside. You will enter the door. Don't even look. He said, وَذَلِكَ الدَّاعِ مِن فَوْقِ الصِّرَاطِ وَاعِظُ اللَّهِ فِي قَلْبِ كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ. He said, the second caller from within the path is in reference to the conscience that is found, the conscience that is found within the heart of every Muslim. The second caller, he said, is the caller to Allah that is found within the heart of every believer. That's the sound that screams out at you when you're about to commit a sin. Says to you, don't do it. And when you do it, it screams again. It says to you, that felt so bad. The guilt, the remorse. And when you do a good deed, it celebrates you. And it excites you to do more. This is the caller of Allah that is found in the heart of every Muslim, divinely installed by Allah into your heart to make the path of Islam even easier for you and I. La ilaha illallah. So what is the point of mentioning this entire hadith? Is to highlight the one sentence where the Prophet ﷺ said, the straight path, as-sirat, is Islam. So when you are saying in your salah, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, guide us to the straight path, you are saying, amongst other things, guide me, O Allah, to the path of Islam.